Hi there, welcome back. It's Margaret Nichols. Thank you for joining me today here on day 6 of our little meditation experience. And today we're going to talk about a mighty big egg, and that egg is forgiveness. So just a quick overview so far over the course of the last 6 days, we've gone over our mind and how our mind operates within us. We've looked at energy, connecting ourselves to the rest of the universe, to the idea of a divine force or spark in this world. How we do one thing is how we do everything is a concept we looked at, and also the concept of our external world as a reflection of our internal world. And now we're going to talk about forgiveness, which is much more of a process. It can be a daily process in many aspects of our life. The currency of life is forgiveness. One of my favorite quotations or cliches, you might even say, about forgiveness is something that I've always heard as an AA or a 12-step program quotation. And that is, resentment is like taking poison and hoping that the other person dies. When we harbor resentment and when we fester repressed emotions, they're toxic to ourselves and being. Just as we spoke about things turning into illness in our body, resentment and these emotions, that these things that we want to hold on to where we're right, they are hazardous to our well-being and our health. And the other side of forgiveness, the side of not forgiving, is the side of being positional. It's basically saying, I'm right and you're wrong. And because I'm right, I'm not going to forgive you because I have to win here. And boy, oh boy, I was the queen of that. I still like to think I'm royalty in the area. But, you know, that's my go-to plays. I'm a know-it-all. I'm a very well-researched person. Don't try to win a Facebook argument with me. I'm just warning you. But that's my go-to. You know, I go to that, I'm right, and I'm going to hold on to this. And, you know, it's one thing when you're arguing about something political, and it's something else when you're, you know, really holding on to something that's shaped your childhood or something about a past relationship that's not going to leave you clear and open to being able to receive more in your life. Forgiveness is a very tricky and difficult thing. The wonderful thing about a spiritual path is that when you really sincerely start to kind of drop down that rabbit hole of a spiritual path, what you can do is if you discover this idea of forgiveness and really take it on, you can do some major cleanup for your entire life. You know, even in like the 12-step programs, as I mentioned before, I think it's step 4 that they do, you know, all the list of everyone who's wronged you, and you go and you ask for forgiveness, not necessarily to them in person, but, you know, you make that list so that you can clear it once. And once you've cleared all of your main baggage for your life, from then on, it's just kind of clean up and you already practice the tool of forgiveness so you can continue on. So that's the good news about it. But forgiveness is definitely a tricky bit. And something that people like to say is, well, you know, people are always doing the best that they can do at any time. And I don't really love that phrase because someone's best could have been abusive to you. It could have been violent, narcissistic. It could have been any host of things that were really unfair to you in the moment. So the more accurate phrase that I like to use and kind of think in this instance is that people are always doing what they have the capacity for at the time. Right? So if he or she wasn't a great partner, didn't have the capacity. If your childhood wasn't so great, your parents didn't have the capacity. That person that you hired that's constantly making mistakes and they're a flake and they're always late, you know what? They just don't have the capacity. Or that friend who let you down by not supporting you also didn't have the capacity. When we don't forgive someone, we're basically walking around saying, look how wronged I was because this person didn't live up to the idealized version of my life that I wanted at the moment. right? They fell short of our expectations. And certainly they could have been agreed upon expectations. They could have been the parent that didn't parent well, the husband or wife that, you know, wasn't the best to you when you entered into a marriage saying, I'm going to be this for you. And they fell short. You know, there's all sorts of instances of agreements, whether said or unsaid, that we have that says, I expect you to act this way. And when people don't, it's extremely upsetting. Or a teacher that takes advantage of a student sexually or something like that, something that's out of bounds of the societal construct that we've all agreed to. But regardless of those constructs and what we agreed to or not, they just fell short of our expectations. And no matter how horrible it is what they did to you, forgiving them has nothing to do about them. It does not let them off the hook. It's entirely for yourself. I'm going to share a little story with you. He has given me permission to share it because we joke about this all the time. But my ex, who's now on this huge spiritual path, and when we were together, I went on my spiritual path shortly thereafter. I was kind of flung into it out of desperation and did a lot of heavy work right after we broke up for those few years. And so I processed our breakup and all everything that came with it, all the mourning of it. I said my sorries to him and all of this, but he was a few years behind me on this path at the time, right? He kind of went down a different wormhole and then came back out of it. And this one day we're in New York and he was still in New York at the time. And he asked me to go out to lunch with him at this Italian restaurant. So I go out to lunch and he's kind of nervous and he's making a big deal out of it. Like when he's like not making eye contact with me because he has something really big and important to say. And he sits me down and he has this big formal meal. And he says to me, I just want to let you know, Margaret, I forgive you. And for him, it was huge. He had made this big deal about it. He was, you know, anxiety all over the place. And I was sitting across the table from him. And the thing is, it was just like shooting an arrow in the middle of a night sky. It was like it didn't hit anything. There was nothing to be charged about. I'd gone through that process with him so many years prior, and my giving closure to that aspect of our relationship had been complete, but it wasn't for him. So he had been hanging on to it, you know, just kind of carrying along with him all of these years. And that was his letting go of it. And I'm not saying that wasn't a momentous or important moment or occasion for him, but it wasn't for me. And now we kind of laugh about it. And because I'm a jerk and we have the relationship that we can joke about it, every once in a while I'll be like, hey, remember when we went to the Italian restaurant and you told me that you forgive me? And we laugh, and he calls me an a-hole, and you know that's just how we are now. But the idea being that it's not about me. Forgiveness wasn't about me. It was about him. And likewise, when I went through my process with him a couple years before that, you know, I didn't need to involve him in my forgiveness. There didn't need to be any kind of communication between us in order for me to heal myself. So one more thing I want to add here before we jump into the meditation, and that is that we also don't really have the capacity for forgiveness. We can't forgive. Forgiveness is an act of grace. It's really a tiny little miracle, and sometimes a big miracle, because it's not something you can do. You can take all the time in the world. Let's say you've broken up with this guy and he broke your heart and you're just mourning and you're like, oh, I'm going to do everything I can to get this guy out of my system. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. And you go to every new moon ritual ceremony and you go to see your therapist and you go to SoulCycle and you're doing all of these things to cleanse him out of your system. And a lot of that could work, and it could work amazingly well. And then you think you're over it, and 7 months down the street, he turns a corner, he's making out with another woman, and bam, all of these emotions start flooding within you. Anger, hurt, frustration, everything. And you're like, oh shit, I wasn't clear about that, and I didn't even realize it. So it's really important to do all of these things, because these things are the things that slough away those layers of resentment and pain. But when it actually happens, it's an act of grace. It's that divine spark that comes down and transforms something for us. And that doesn't only go for other people, that goes for ourselves as well. So I can't tell you how many people I've worked with that feel guilty about something in their life, guilty about something that happened with a child or with a partner, and they're holding on to this guilt and it's altered the course of the other person's life and they can't forgive themselves. That's a huge burden to bear too. How do we go into self-forgiveness? It might even be more challenging than trying to forgive others, because with others, we can kind of wrap our mind around the idea of what's the perception of where they were. But with ourselves, we can just say, oh my God, I failed and I don't know how to let myself off the hook for this one. So there's lots of layers here. Practice can take a long time for this, or it can happen in an instant. So today we're just going to gently tread into practicing forgiveness for a little bit. And basically, I just want you to really take away the idea of, if you're not familiar with it already or you don't live from that place, of that forgiveness is always in our benefit, right? That holding on to something and being right all the time isn't going to open us up to more opportunity. So forgiveness is really a self-serving process, honestly, because you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for you. So as I briefly mentioned, we can't do forgiveness. So all we can really kind of do is set the stage and ask the right questions and step into a place with sincerity and faith and ask. And pray on it, basically, you know, and there's not really a better word. That's probably the accurate word for it, is to pray on it. And when we do that, we can bring some space and some grace about it, and hopefully that divine spark will come in and clear it up. And that might not happen in the moment. Sometimes that asking for forgiveness is a seed that's planted, and then it, you know, births forth or grows forth weeks, months, overnight, years later. We don't really ever know the timeline of it. So the more sincerity and presence we can come to it with when we're asking, I've found that the quicker that timeline is. So let's practice. If you are somewhere where you can close your eyes, please do so. And just settle into your body, take a nice deep breath in and exhale. Maybe loosen your joints a little bit, just kind of shake it out. And fall straight into your heart, into that dark, warm place that we've been visiting this week, that's come closer to us, that's right there. And in that dark, warm, sacred space, call in or invoke or invite that divine spark that we've been playing with this week, that we've been communing with. And ask that spark of life force to hear your call here, to hear what you're asking, to hear your prayer. And now I'd like you to contemplate really gently, easily, a time in your recent past when you know you were wrong. Today we want to practice a little bit of self-forgiveness. And just think of a time that you knew that you were wrong. Maybe you've apologized, maybe you haven't. Maybe you were so sure about something and then facts came up and it showed that you had the wrong perception and you weren't in fact right. Or you got into an argument that got overheated and you said something in the passion of the moment that was really mean and you didn't mean to say that. Or you fell short, you ran out of time, you were late to meet someone or for a deadline. It could have been anything. Just go back to that moment. Don't make it too epic. And just look at the circumstances surrounding your situation. The context of your environment around you. How up until you made your mistake, Everything seemed perfect and right. Or if not perfect and right, at least it felt you were on a track and doing something, just going along with what your instincts told you in the moment. And here, in your mistake, in your minor human failing here, take a look at the circumstances and see how, in that moment, you just didn't have the capacity. And if in that moment you're thinking about being late for a friend for lunch, not having the capacity, the trains were late, you got caught up in work, you didn't prioritize it enough, you let other things take your mind in front of it, or something larger and more painful, like you didn't have the capacity to be there for someone close to you who needed you. Wow, that could be a lot more emotional. But whether it was small or big, just notice how it's all about you just not having the capacity in the moment. And do you see how that feeling, that tenderness is hooked into your heart? Could be a small hook, could be a really big and painful hook. And although you might be able to loosen it, it's really only an act of grace that's going to come down to actually transmute it and unhook it from your heart. So take a nice deep breath into that heart. And recognize again, you just didn't have the capacity in the moment. And whatever that brings up inside you could be painful, might be neutral or even irritated that you're doing this right now. Deep breath. You just didn't have the capacity in the moment. That's a neutral statement. You just didn't have the capacity in the moment. And so seeing this hook in your heart, ask that universal force or divine spark to come in and unhook you here. Ask your higher self, hey, I can see I'm hooked in here. I can't do this alone. Please help me to forgive myself. And you can say it again one more time, silently inside your heart. Hey, please help me to forgive myself. And one more time for good measure. Hey, please help me to forgive myself. And a nice deep breath. And in your heart, you might feel a little crunchy or vulnerable. Maybe it doesn't feel like there's closure at this moment. So give your heart one more deep breath. And say thank you to yourself. And I love you to yourself, even if that feels inauthentic. Just try it. And even though you might feel vulnerable, if you can, you can bring yourself back to the room, to the space that you're in. And let that just sit there. And that's really hard to do. It's part of the practice. It's part of the process to leave something open and vulnerable, but you're leaving a doorway open. You're leaving that doorway open for that divine spark to come through to heal something for you that we haven't been able to heal ourselves. And I wish you the grace for that to happen. I thank you for showing up with me here today. And I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Namaste.